the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is Indian CIO Surviving a Wild Ride of Ups and Downs. Our guests for today's show are Partha Iyengar, who is the Vice President and Distinguished Analyst and Regional Research Director for India at Gartner. Good morning and good evening, Partha.
Good evening, Sanjay.
How are you doing, sir?
Fine, thank you.
Very good. And we also have Arvind Tavare. He's the CIO for Mahindra and Mahindra Limited. Good evening, Arvind.
Good evening, Sanjay.
How are you doing?
Well, very fine, thanks.
So how's the weather there? I'm in Chicago. We are covered in snow. We look all white here. How's the weather?
We're just experiencing the cold here now.
And
well,
where are you located?
Is different from your cold.
Yeah, so the measure of cold is a little different. I mean, if you were to ever come to Chicago, it's like minus, what, 20, 30 degrees Fahrenheit. So, anyways, this is a great topic. We are looking at India as one of the major players, and they are on the map more and more. And they started, the whole country saw a boom, and they saw a, you know, kickstart in their consumer economy, which in turn kickstarted your enterprise IT, and there were big plans made. Now, with the global meltdown, there is a ripple effect and significant effect in most countries, including India. With that being said, this would have had some impact on the enterprise IT, and you would have to, you know, pull back on most of those grand-scale initiatives that you would have otherwise planned. So with this being a new experience of suddenly getting a boom and then suddenly seeing a bust, what's happening with the IT leadership? How are they handling it? Have you had any such experience before, and if not, then how are you taking this surprise? Partha.
I'd say that this is probably the second cycle that we've seen of this kind. The first time we had this boom in IT spending in India by the enterprises, Indian enterprises, was back in the dot-com boom days, which really was the first strong wave of IT investments by Indian enterprises. With the dot-com bust, the roller coaster ride, as you call it, kind of went completely downhill, and we saw almost an overnight freeze on spending. A lot of the ERP initiatives that had been kicked off in the height of the dot-com boom euphoria were brought to a grinding halt. So I'd say the Indian enterprises had seen this before, back in the 2001-2002 timeframe. The second point I'd like to make about the downturn this time around is that I think it is somewhat different from the last downturn. I see, and maybe Arvind can comment on this further, but I see that CIOs and the business management is actually taking a more cautious approach in terms of dealing with the slowdown. I'm not seeing as much of a knee-jerk reaction of, oh my God, the slowdown is here, let's cut everything and hunker down. There is a more focused look at, you know, which are the projects that are critical to support continued growth when the turnaround happens, which are the projects that are critical to competitiveness and innovation for the future. And enterprises are actually being quite savvy in trying to protect those projects and continue those projects. The last point is, for the third year in a row, India has been the fastest growing IT market, and again, for the past couple of years, for the first time, on the back of increased domestic spending, not just the offshore IT wave, and there's been more of a slowdown, but I don't think the bottom has dropped out of Indian IT investment.
Arvind, what do you think?
Yeah, I do agree with Partha regarding the current situation, the economic situation. The slowdown effect is there, yes, but I don't think it is so severe that it needs some sort of a radical thinking in cost cutting per se. I mean, there is a sort of a rationalized analysis and decision making in which projects to go and which projects to leave for. But I think Indian enterprises per se, the hardcore, basically the, I would say the manufacturing industry per se, they're not really as affected earlier in the 2000.com bust, because I think that is more of sort of people who ventured into those .com companies, possibly they had more affected. But as far as other Indian enterprises are concerned, I don't think, I mean, I'm seeing the growth in IT deployment for the last 10 years is consistently, of course, in the last 5 years, it is quite steep.
Now, Mahindra & Mahindra has been a mature enterprise, been around for a while. And I'm sure with the growth that you've seen, there must have been right foundation would have been put in place. And that's why for you it's a regular thing inside that, you know, Mahindra & Mahindra enterprise. Now, if you look at the market as a whole, would you say that enterprise IT was anything more than a number of network engineers trying to keep the computer systems up and running till, like, what, early 2000, and now suddenly you have to become most sophisticated, you should have a data center and you should have, you know, 99.999 up, you know, you should be 99.999 up at all times. So with this sudden shift, people, are they able to even handle that level of expectation from IT, the enterprise IT folks that are coming on assuming those roles? Partha, what do you think?
I think I'd probably characterize the evolution of IT in India slightly differently than what you've described, Sanjog. I think we've gone through, I'd say over the last 12 to 15 years, we've gone through an evolution of where IT was very, very light in most enterprises, where most of the processes were still very manual intensive. And starting from that point about 15 years ago, we got to this point where IT kind of entered the back office in quite a few enterprises, but it was really just back-end reconciliation, some of the you know, back office operations. So the typical kind of EDP environment of the past. And that probably brings us to that, 2002, time frame, which is when we started seeing IT move into supporting some of the front office and some of the client-driven activities as well, which is really, you know, the activity that companies have been investing in over the past 5 years, and where we are poised now to really from 2008 and heading into the next couple of years is really Indian enterprises move on to where IT is actually driving innovation and competitive edge within the business. Now, that's an evolution that we've seen around the world. The difference in India is that it's happened in a relatively compressed time frame, and the movement and the evolution is still happening quite fast. If you look at kind of the global timescales we've seen in other parts of the world, so I'd say that this evolution, you know, Gartner talks about type A, type B, type C enterprises. Type A enterprises are those that believe in IT being a keen competitive edge and a differentiator and critical to their future effectiveness and competitiveness. Type B enterprises believe in being close to the leading edge but not necessarily on the bleeding edge. And type C enterprises are those that are quite risk averse. They tend to invest in something only after it's completely stable and mature. What we've seen in India over the past couple of years is the increase in the numbers of type A organizations that are investing more heavily in IT as really a competitive edge weapon, and correspondingly also an increase in the type B companies. And where, you know, 10 years ago we would have said that India was predominantly a type C kind of IT environment, we're seeing that mix change rapidly over the last year and it will continue to change, I believe, over the next couple of years.
No, I think you made comments based on the primary and secondary research that you may have conducted and or other consulting that Gartner would have consulted in the Indian enterprise environment. So, Arvind, now when you talk to, say, your counterparts in other companies who may or may not be as mature as your, like Mahindra and Mahindra organization, how are they adopting to change? Because part of what you mentioned is that the speed at which the change happened was very fast. Now, adoption is also a key. So, Arvind, question for you is the Indian enterprise able to adopt the change at that pace?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the evolution of IT at M&M, if I may take that as an example, has really happened when we went for SAP after our BPR exercise in 1996. And it's not only since then, I mean, we are basically on SAP and the Microsoft as a communication platform. I mean, if you see that the road we travel in the last 12 years, it's quite, distinguished in a sense compared to many other organizations. But that's basically because of the environment which M&M management has into. I would say, if you ask me about the comparative organizations other than M&M, I would say more or less in the last 5 to 6 years, that transformation has happened in many of the Indian organizations, both large organizations definitely, but even the certain medium organizations also. Along with the IT department has also evolved. I mean, Partha talked about the EDP department, and which was so about 15 years back. But even taking the examples of M&M, I mean, we had our IT department before, but after the SAP implementation, we separated out the IT part into a separate company. And the core IT function, which remained with Mahindra, is basically handled through the business functional people. And over the years, I mean, in corporate IT, which are mainly people coming from the executives coming from the businesses, we talk the business language when we talk about the IT opportunities with them. So I think that sort of evolution has happened in other organizations. I see many examples now, and I think Partha possibly will substantiate that this shift in the manning, I would say, of the IT department in the organization is really quite evident.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about the way the Indian talent has evolved with respect to IT. We did a lot of IT outsourcing, and we really were one of the major players, are in fact one of the major players in IT. Now what we did was, all along, the type of quality assurance that we had to put in place was all for mass production of a lot of different projects happening, and also that was for overseas clients, so we were trying to meet their expectations with respect to how, when, what will be done, and what security and what quality that we will have to maintain. Indian enterprise IT, it's evolving. However, the scale at which it works is a little different. So the type of management talent that we are now trying to get would most probably be coming from one or the other outsourcing outfit. And this is an assumption, and you're more than welcome to challenge it. But then if that's the case, how do they scale down their style and their methodologies and everything else to meet the demand of enterprise IT, which is not as big yet? Yes, it is becoming bigger. So how's the existing workforce, IT workforce in India, being retrofitted into enterprise IT, and how are they doing? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Mom.
Money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
There are so many challenges facing management today around the world. The New Management Network is here to provide practical insight and solutions for many of these challenges. Hosts Don and Bonnie Folk will explore topics designed to help you get the competitive upper hand, including organizational tools, personality and leadership, cutting-edge management tips, and much more. Join the New Management Network live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Network.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjay Gall.
Welcome back. So we are talking about Indian talent that was created because of the outsourcing boom, and then different scale and different level of expectation was there from the overseas clients for whom this talent was delivering. Now we may have a lot of engineers but fewer managers, and I'm sure a lot more managers are getting groomed as we speak. At the same time, the expectation that they had, the culture that they came from, and the assumption here is that most people who are being, you know, introduced into the enterprise IT today are coming from those outsourcing shops who were working in a different style and a different set of mandates. How is that retrofitting happening? Are you able to keep those guys challenged enough or be able to meet their demands so that they are able to meet your demands? Arvind.
I think the skills what enterprise IT is looking for and the skills which IT service providers have, they are slightly different. Of course, there is an overlap in certain areas, but I think the focus of the IT executives, the enterprise IT executives, is on the business, and they need to have definitely a deep understanding of the business and the processes. They need to sort of translate the technology language into the business language and get buy-in from the users, because unless the IT is properly understood and supported by the business people, the implementation definitely won't be as successful. So, I mean, and as I talked earlier, the evolution of IT department and even the CIOs here is towards using business people to manage this function. I mean, I feel that IT is not something which is a function sitting in an ivory tower, but it's entirely a business function. And if you understand that, all the necessary skills needed for the, the current IT function would come from more from the businesses than from the technology firms.
So in your view, would you kind of separate the geeks from the business guys and say, okay, all the business guys take care of the front-end role, and get to understand what the user is saying and then become the bridge to those programmers or other people who are actually going to make that magic happen with their code, and then hand it over to these individuals who are basically working as bridges, and then go back to the business and do it. So you don't bring the person who is at the lowest level in the chain of command to talk.
No, because it is totally outsourced. I mean, all the hardcore technology part is being outsourced, at least in Mahindra and Mahindra, let's say. And the people which we have, the strategy part of it, the plans part of it, the understanding the customer requirement, the both tacit and explicit, and finding out the appropriate business solution, aligning the business and the IT, all these functions are done at the core team, which are, I would say, that evolved IT function in the organization. Whereas the hardcore IT, whether it's related to the technology consultancy or in certain cases maybe the programmers, would definitely come from the service providers. I mean, there is also another point, because I don't think in the enterprise we won't be able to give them the right career path, whereas the technology firms would certainly be able to give them.
Very interesting, Arvind, because, you know, when I also visited India and also spoke to a number of CIOs, it seems like the model that is evolving in India is that you keep the business folks in-house who understand IT enough for them to be able to meet the expectation of executive management and end business users, but then all the hardcore IT is being outsourced. But now, is that always cost-effective for any type of organization? Now, this is a question. Partha, what do you see here? Is that a trend?
Actually, I think the it'll be an interesting chicken and egg kind of discussion when it comes to India. I think over the past few years, it's not so much the desire for cost effectiveness that has driven the move towards outsourcing, as Arvind was talking about, especially in what I call the type A organizations and even the high end type B organizations. It was very clearly a recognition that with the growth of the offshore IT industry from India, it was becoming quite difficult for even the blue chip companies like Mahindra and some of their peers to hold on to the numbers and quality of IT talent on the technical side, and it really became almost impossible to attract the best talent and then retain them. So part of this evolution of saying internal IT will focus more on the business side and the business liaison and really understanding what the business wants, and the actual creation and delivery of the solutions will be through outsourcing and service providers is partly more kind of a necessity out of the realities of the Indian services market and the resource pool. And I think we're kind of going through the second wave of outsourcing now, where we've seen some mega deals, even by global standards. You know, for example, the Bharti IBM deal was large even by global standards, where we're seeing the rise of outsourcing move to where companies are trying to source the kinds of skills that they know they just can't get in-house or even be able to afford to bring them in-house, and hence they're looking for to this outsourcers to bring those skills and bring that capability to bear on the significant business challenges that they're facing. And again, internal IT plays that critical bridge role to be the bridge that understands what the business needs and then, in this case, interact with the outsourcing provider. So I think that's where the transition is in at least the type A and type B Indian enterprises.
Now, would you think that this model that has already evolved and that is out of necessity, is that truly the model which is sustainable, and is that the model which will allow enterprise IT to reach its true potential going forward, because it could become cost prohibitive as well? Arthur?
Yeah, I don't think it will necessarily become cost prohibitive. The trends don't indicate that might happen. Where I think this will continue to make sense is we're actually seeing that the same trend is playing out in most parts of the world. the difference in India is that, again, it's happening in a relatively accelerated time frame. So in India, strangely enough, the challenge is really the reverse. It's funny that, if it wasn't so serious, it would be funny that, you know, even though India is kind of seen as the outsourcing capital for the world, most Indian CIOs actually struggle to get the service providers to pay enough attention to them. And it's only recently now that I think service providers, at least the Indian service providers, have woken up to the fact that the Indian outsourcing, the domestic outsourcing industry can actually be a compelling value proposition, and they recognize, though, that to play in that market, they have to be fairly competitive, and that's what I think will keep it price competitive and not really make it price prohibitive as you indicated.
Looking at the budgets, given the downturn, the topic was all about, you know, while we are not in the greatest of the scenarios right now where we saw the economic meltdown and there's a ripple effect or in fact some case a direct effect on the way Indian enterprise is handling their budgets overall, including IT. So if you were to prioritize the projects, which ones would you bring to the table first? Because, you know, frankly, you have almost a blank sheet of paper on which you've started drawing just literally 2 days ago. And now you're told you've got to tighten up your budgets. How on earth does someone prioritize when you don't have all the things marked down on that piece of paper yet? So, Arvind, what do you think?
There is no question that we need to prioritize. And the prioritize, of course, will be driven by the business need anyway. But if you really look at the IT investment which an enterprise does, I mean, there are certain portions which go to maintaining the operations, maybe in the current scenario 24/7, and there are certain sort of support functions. And then there are strategic projects which basically relate to the business strategy, whether maybe related to the growth or creating the specific competitive advantage for that. And the last portion which we talked about, I mean, which we classify as, we call it as a high potential, they are basically the investment which we do mostly in terms of emerging technologies, which we see the potential opportunities within the business to deploy those and derive benefits. And there may be a sort of a small investment to start with, but it's like a real option, possibly leveraging it on a future date. Now, the type of investment in supports and the operations part of it, they will have to be there because you need to maintain the operations. But what generally will happen now is that most of the IT functions, including, I mean, what we do is, will now look inward in terms of how we are optimizing these internal processes, the various those cost reduction initiatives which we talked about. I mean, they will be most critically will look into that so that we are delivering more for the less part of it. The strategic projects, of course, have to be aligned with the business. And if the business has a different priorities, I don't think IT can have a different priorities altogether. So those priorities will be determined by the businesses. But I feel the projects which fall into that high potential category may possibly get affected. I mean, it depends on how a particular organization sees the potential to deploy that technology maybe in a 1 year or 2 years and what benefits they accrue. But I suspect possibly the project in this category may possibly get deferred.
Okay. So, Partha, if you look at the budgets today and the way people are allocating budgets today compared to what you saw, like, say, beginning of 2008 when we did not see the meltdown as yet, how do you see the change in mindset happening in the enterprise IT leaders in India?
At this point in time, we're seeing some level of caution. So our last survey indicated, you know, this was before the meltdown, the average IT budget increases that we saw in 2008 were of the order of about 16% or so compared to a global average of 4%. And pre-meltdown for 2009, though they were still kind of a quarter away from those numbers starting to kind of take shape. The initial indicators were that the budget increases would be of that same magnitude. After the meltdown, again, you know, very preliminary indicators, we'll still see budget increases. We're not going to see a leveling of budgets or cutting back of budgets. We still expect to see some level of budget growth. What that number is, whether it ends up being kind of a 5 to 7% growth, or even in some cases maybe still up in the double digits of about 10% is still out there. But I think it will still be healthy by global standards. I think Indian enterprises recognize, as Arvind was saying, that it is key to continue investing. And the kind of panic we have seen in other parts of the world, yes, some of that panic has come in the sense of more of caution. But I'd say that the same scale of panic has not hit Indian enterprises, at least to the extent that we've seen it. And one of the factors that I think goes into that is, which is a strong correlation with the actual kind of economic environment here, is how exposed the country is to the export market in general and to the U.S. market in particular. And India, compared to some of the other countries in Asia-Pac, is really not that exposed to the export market. You know, the Time magazine had a study recently. I think they pegged India's exposure to exports as a percentage of GDP at roughly about 17% or so, compared to 28% for China, and some of the other countries were even higher. So I think that's a mitigating factor in that domestic demand is still a strong driver for most Indian enterprises, and that's what will keep, I think, IT investments at a relatively high level compared to global numbers.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about the way a CIO or an IT leader is perceived today in an Indian enterprise environment among the business unit leaders, the different entities that are surrounding you, that is the business user, business unit leaders, executive management, customers, partners. Now, if IT has to really become the driver which delivers value and which delivers the competitive edge, how much of trust and how much of empowerment has been provided to this enterprise IT leader who's working 25 hours out of 24-hour day to make things happen? And if that has not come to that yet, what are the reasons? Why is that lack of trust existing? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Have you found yourself overwhelmed or stalled, not getting the goals you dream of? Hear what the experts say about how you can break through. Solutions, systems, skills. Get your strategy on track and accelerate your business success. Join Linda Feinholz every Monday for The Spark Effect. Linda and her guests will show you and your team exactly how to grow your business further, faster, easier. The Spark Effect is heard every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
From the stock market floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we are expecting the CIO or the IT leader in an organization in India to deliver miracles and, of course, take the company to the next level, deliver value, provide competitive advantage. How much of support and trust and empowerment has been provided by the executive leadership on an average when you look across the spectrum? And if it is happening more often than not, good news, amazing. But we have not seen that happen usually in other parts of the world where the IT is also mature. So if that is not happening, why not, and what would it take for everybody to come and join the same bandwagon so IT can help drive the economy, help drive the value and competitive advantage? Arvind, what do you think?
I think it really depends on the organization. I mean, how the CEO and CFO really look at IT, whether they see that as a competitive weapon or otherwise. And luckily, based on my experience in Mahindra and Mahindra, I would say that I'm a bit lucky because my top management understands the importance or the competency which IT would provide the organizations on a long term. So that's why, I mean, as a CIO, I take part in the business unit's study discussion as a part of the corporate center. My IT strategy gets debated at the top management and by the business heads and then gets formulated. So the alignment part of it between IT and business happens that way. And I think that entirely depends on the trust which the business unit heads really have in, I won't say the individual capacity, but as a function, IT function within that. And I've seen, I mean, once you agree to your goals, then how you achieve that is left to the CIO. I mean, there is no micromanagement per se. But of course, there are prudent governance happening there. And so, for example, I mean, in case of Mahindra Mahindra, I would say we are into sort of one mega project, which basically talks about harmonizing all the, I mean, we have selected four processes, business process, across all the group companies and putting it on a common platform, that is SAP. And it's a multi-group project and it's going in for about 2 years duration. But that has been initiated by the IT function, because the strategy we suggested, this is could be the way one should go about. These are the benefits as a group possibly we could have got. And that it is happening. So I think it's a question of course, I mean, you need to earn that trust anyway. But if the major top management understand that, I don't see any issue in terms of getting the funding if you need to go into the specifics for your projects per se.
And see, beyond the funding, it is also empowerment so that, and also the fact that the trust also percolates across the organization, because if the top guy loves you, then that love gets, you know, spread across the organization. It's at least a hope and pray that it happens, and that makes your job easier, because if you could have a multi-crore project, and if it falls flat on its face because it doesn't get adopted, because you did not have buy-in from the business users, it doesn't help anyone.
Yeah.
So what you said, you're being modest by saying that you're lucky, but you should have done something which other enterprise CIOs can learn from, is that what you did was you tried to create the process of the decision-making such that you do not own the decision, the business does from the get-go,
right.
And then the adoption is a non-issue. But is that what you planned for? Was this a planned exercise, or is this something
I'm sure
that's what was the case. But what do you think?
It really depends on your background. I mean, because I could speak to the business language and I could understand what the business needs. I mean, we talked about the involvement of the both IT function as well as the CIO. The skills and competency required of the CIO are also getting changed. I mean, we are basically talking about, talking about our internal customers, our value proposition, our partners, our core competencies. I mean, we think in those terms. So obviously, one need to be aligned to the business thinking in any case.
Partha,
and if I can
look at what
Sanjog, in terms of in terms of the the skills of the CIO that Arvind mentioned and the overall evolution we are talking about, I think India, similar to other parts of the world, has its fair share of environments where in some of the environments the CIOs are ahead of the business management in terms of what they think IT can deliver to the business and what it should be delivering and its role within the enterprise. But if they have not either for lack of trying or because of historical reasons or whatever, they don't have the credibility and the trust of the business management to take them along, it often tends to be where IT is ahead of the business, and that tends to be a mismatch, which usually results in the CIO becoming frustrated and leaving the organization. The other kind of extreme is where the business is extremely IT hungry, if you will, and want IT to do more for the business, but the CIO is fairly comfortable in their technical domain and don't really want to step into the business domain. And that, again, I think is a situation where we're seeing more and more Indian enterprises actually starting to move business people into the CIO role, kind of reaching a level of frustration with the technical CIO that they don't understand the business. And then the third category is, I think, the nirvana category, which I think Arvind is fortunate enough to be in, where there's actually a fairly strong meeting of the minds between the CIO and business management, and they're fairly aligned both in their thinking as well as, how the business perceives IT and the CIO. And those are actually, like in other parts of the world, the most effective organizations. So I think India is going through that transition right now.
Now, given the tight purse strings that we have today because of, overall, crunch that we are seeing, the R&D cell, which is also very important for us to think ahead and take a quantum leap over and over again, so that when you have this next new thing that you come up with, it takes you 3 or 4 years ahead of your competitors. That R&D cell is so much more important, and it also requires things like green IT that the whole world is talking about to do some corporate social responsibility and also save costs. So when you talk about such philanthropic efforts and or the R&D efforts, are they being stifled, or we have put a stop to them just because we do not have we are in that keeping the lights on mode? Arvind, is that what is happening today?
No, I think Partha described it quite aptly there. I mean, the effect of this downturn is not been as severe, so to say, on the... I mean, we are definitely being cautioned, but certainly not getting panicky in terms of, cutting on the cost wherever, as much as possible. The caution is certainly there, and as I said earlier, we are also getting affected. Basically, our major business is vehicle manufacturing, automobile, and most of the business depends on the vehicle financing being done. So it's got really affected. But I think, and as Partha mentioned, we should be coming out of that situation much faster than possibly the rest of the world. So, the thing is that, you can't say that I have planned for the next 6 months and I will follow this. In this situation, possibly we may need to monitor the situation as we go along. You may talk about the long-term strategy, but I think the monitoring has to be done maybe every week or every month. We may need to be flexible enough to sort of change our priorities if it needs be. So, I think that's what... the CIOs would be adopting mostly in India.
All right, let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And Partha, I'd like to extend this topic that let's leave the economic downturn. But the very fact that the maturity of an enterprise IT is when you are not only looking at what you have to do to keep the lights on, but you also have to have that R&D cell. That is when you've taken care of your core work, and then you are looking at that self-actualization level, what we do when as individuals. We want to reach our maximum potential. So is the enterprise IT there yet, where it is trying to maximize its true potential by looking into having a separate R&D cell where there's some research and development and other types of activity, some innovation that's happening. And we are also looking at how we innovatively use green IT or other initiatives to also be socially responsible. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and let's hear from Partha.
Sell, buy, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom, if I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me?
Should I stay where I am and wait for you?
Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Should we pick a place for me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home, should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work? Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Partha, the question is, in that overall, keeping your lights on and everything else is happening, but from a maturity standpoint, is the enterprise IT in India there yet where they can look beyond having their core offering available to the enterprise and everything is going hunky-dory, and then let's look at that, maximizing your potential or the business's potential by setting up an R&D lab and doing other things with respect to corporate social responsibility. Has that maturity come in as yet?
I would say, another way to look at that evolution from a Gartner perspective would be to talk about utility or efficiency-related IT, enhancement-related IT, and then transformational IT. The efficiency is really where IT is more a cost-cutting tool. Enhancement is where it's improving productivity. And transformation is really where that's what you're talking about, which is where it's getting into R&D, it's getting into new areas like corporate social responsibility, whether that's green IT or other such initiatives. In India, my kind of rough take is that we probably see only about 10% of Indian enterprises have reached that point of really looking at IT for transformational impact. And that kind of loosely correlates with those type A enterprises I was talking about, who believe that IT can actually help them drive future business evolution. But at this point, I would say it's very early days from an Indian perspective, and it's only those kind of, bleeding edge 10% of the Indian IT enterprises that are at that point. With some of the other enterprises, maybe the next kind of 20% or so, the intent might be there from a business perspective, But one of the challenges they face is that just given the you know large number of years of underinvestment in IT, it's very hard to just turn on a dime and say, okay, from tomorrow we're going to expect innovation from IT. There's actually a tremendous amount of foundational work that has to go in place, has to be put in place before the IT department can even start thinking about helping the business drive innovation, and that next 20% of the enterprises are actually in this feverish build-out phase, whether that's building out their infrastructure or building out their application suites or building out their, even in some cases, the networking and telecom infrastructure. Till they get those pieces in place, it's actually almost impossible to look at delivering innovation and R&D to the business.
Now, with respect to security, now this is one thing. As soon as we talk about any country which has been in outsourcing, but at the same time, the perception maybe, or that could just be a myth, is that security has been always a big challenge or a big red flag whenever somebody outsourced things to India or China or any other place. Now the buck stops the stakes are high for our own enterprises. How is security handled today, or has that improved? The security management in an enterprise with respect to IT, you know, becoming the very backbone, a lot of data flowing electronically, and with so many people, you know, getting hired and or getting laid off or walking away to another company. What is the state of security today, and is it getting better? Or if not, then what has to be done to make it better? Arvind.
Actually, we got our BS 7-son and then certification 3 years back. And it was not only for IT, but it was for the organization. And currently we are on ISO 27001. So we have all the things necessary to put the certification on. So we have all the IT information security policies and processes in place. And of course that audit is being done every year by the STQC. So I would say there is quite a preparedness, I would say, from IT side and from the organization side in terms of the risks involved in IT vulnerabilities, so to say. I mean, there is a defined structure within the organization. We have a FX council, which includes the presidents, the business functions, as well as myself. And then there are ISR, that information security representative for each business sectors, and down to the level of locational council and the departmental heads. So I would say to some extent definitely we are being prepared for information security, and both and obviously of course all the technological tools of course are in place. So I would say and I think in general also, the awareness of information security is there in many organizations. So this, and I think, it may not be, definitely in the recent past, that trend has shown some quite a perceptible increase.
All right, Partha, very quick.
And I think, if I can just add a quick point to that, Sanjog, I think security, especially in the context of a country like India, there's as much of a factor that rests outside the enterprise and what's outside the enterprise's control when it comes to security and IP protection. For example, even cultural attitudes towards security in a place like India are very different from what you might see in some of the Western countries. The legal framework that is in place in other countries, whether that's legal framework to protect patents and IP or privacy of data, is missing as yet, or doesn't have the same level of enforcement, even if some of the laws do exist in India. And then, you know, if you look at this notion of a key employee walks out of your organization and decides to join a competitor, we've seen through multiple court cases in India that the court always favors the individual employee, which means that a lot of the non-compete clauses that are pretty much ironclad in places like the U.S. are often not worth the paper they're written on in India. So enterprises actually have very little recourse in general to prevent key employees from joining a competitor and taking what's in their heads with them. And, you know, the three-year kind of bar of joining a competitor is very hard to enforce in India. So the whole notion of security in that broader context is quite challenging as yet in India, and it's still a work in progress.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Now, on behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Partha and Arvind, for sharing your thoughts about how the Indian CIO, while there may be a roller coaster ride, and maybe from the outside it looks like everybody's facing it, good news is it seems that enterprise IT is not facing it that much, and it's well on its way to become a very mature IT organization, and or you know you're enabling organizations to use IT and get more competitive and reach to the next level of potential.
Thanks a lot, Sanjog.
Yeah, thanks, Sanjog. Thanks, Bhadra.
Thank
pleasure.
You so much. Now, we would love to hear any comments that you may have about enterprise IT because the companies may be opening offices there and or the companies in India who are facing some challenges with respect to how do they take IT to the next level. We saw Arvind, worked his way into making IT successful at Mahindra, and Mahindra and Partha shared, of course, what the world is doing in India with respect to using enterprise IT. Please share your thoughts at views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. This is Sanjog All, your host at CIO Talk Radio. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.